You're listening to Central Time right now. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up later in the program, we'll be talking about one of our favorite things, chocolate.
First, it's time for Wisconsin Legends, where we talk about famous Wisconsinites from all walks of life.
And this week, we look back on the life of a major leaguer with Wisconsin roots. Andy Pafko played for the Milwaukee Braves, among other teams, and was a four-time All-Star. Pafko also claimed he hit the longest home run in baseball history. We're going to get to that a little later. He did pass away last week at the age of 92. Here's a clip of Pafko being interviewed by WUWM in 2009.
Of course, I played for a long time, a number of years, and I was so fortunate that I played for three different clubs, and all the three clubs went into the World Series. And I think of a guy like Ron Santo, played all those years and never had the opportunity here. I played with on three clubs. We all went to the World Series, so how lucky could I get? So I had a good career. I'm very lucky.
Joining us now to talk about the life of Andy Pafko is WPR's Terry Bell. In addition to being a reporter and the host of Morning Edition, he's also a history buff when it comes to Wisconsin baseball. Terry, welcome back to Central Time.
Nice to be back.
So who was Andy Pafko? Give us a feeling for his career.
Well, Andy Pafko, he was really the American dream. He came from that time when baseball players were the children of immigrants and came up from farms and coal mines. Big league baseball players we've established pretty well. One of the best ones of his time in the 1940s and 50s, which many people consider to be baseball's golden era. Played for 17 years, got his start with the Cubs in 1943, and played all the way until the Braves released him in 1959. Again, the child of Czech immigrants, grew up in Boyceville. Like, he was born in 1921, grew up on a dairy farm. I think they milked 16 head. And Boyceville is in Dunn County. That's kind of between Eau Claire and the Twin Cities. And as we heard in that clip, he played for three championship-caliber teams, the Chicago Cubs, the Brooklyn Dodgers, and the Milwaukee Braves, played in four World Series, including the last time the Chicago Cubs ever got to the World Series. He was on that team, and I believe he was the second-to-last surviving member of that 1945 National League pennant-winning team, and that was the year of the curse of the Billy Goat was cast on Wrigley Field. And his one World Championship came with the Braves in 1957.
So a World Championship. Handful of World Series, as we mentioned, four-time All-Star. He had a pretty good Major League career.
He had a great Major League career, absolutely.
So can you talk about some of the people he played with, some of the legendary players we might know?
Well, you have to start really with Jackie Robinson and Henry Aaron. Those were the big luminaries he played with. But on the last Cubs World Series team, he played with Phil Cavaretta, Hank Wise in Brooklyn, legends like Roy Campanella, Gil Hodges, and of course ending up in Milwaukee with the likes of Eddie Matthews and Warren Spahn.
So he was also part of a legend kind of on the other side that he couldn't really do much about. Let's take a listen to one of the most famous moments in baseball.
Back to throw. There's a long drive. It's going to be, I believe. The Giants come to pellet. The Giants come to pellet. The Giants come to pellet. The Giants come to pellet.
And one of the great moments in broadcasting, too, the shot heard around the world. Where was Andy Pafko when the shot heard around the world was hit?
He was playing left field, and that shot went right over his head. In fact, there's a very famous photograph of him up against the wall there at the Polo Grounds. He seems almost to be trying to push the wall back in hopes of one last attempt to get that ball, but it wasn't meant to be.
And he said if it had been another stadium, he might have caught that ball, but there was a short fence there.
It was only 315 to left field at the Polo Grounds. Pretty shallow porch there.
So he ended up playing with Bobby Thompson later on the same team, right?
They ended up on the Milwaukee Braves. They were teammates and pretty good friends.
All right. Yeah. And I think I saw something about Bobby Thompson was too modest to talk about that moment.
Well, yeah, apparently he asked Bobby a few times about that, and he just didn't really want to talk about it. Bobby, much like Andy, pretty humble, pretty unaffected by fame, pretty modest people to the end.
However, Andy Pafko claimed, as we mentioned earlier, he hit the longest home run in baseball history. What's the story behind that?
Well, that apparently happened at Wrigley Field against the Boston Braves. He hit a home run out of the park. We can verify that. And it apparently landed on a train that was going along Sheffield Avenue and landed in a coal car. And apparently, I can't verify this, but the train eventually went on to New York, it's told. And so Andy takes credit for that as being the longest home run in baseball history.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I buy that. I accept it. So he ended up, he's from Wisconsin. He ended up playing for Milwaukee to finish his career. Was there a sense that he was glad to come back home to Wisconsin?
He was very glad to come home. When the Boston Braves moved to Milwaukee, they wanted a Wisconsin native on the roster as maybe a ticket draw, perhaps. But he had always wanted to play in Milwaukee, even when the old minor league Milwaukee Brewers, he had actually a signed contract with them. And the Brewers then traded or actually sold that contract to the old minor league Los Angeles Angels. And he wasn't happy at all. He was looking forward to playing in Milwaukee. He didn't want to go to Los Angeles. Eventually, he got his wish ending up in his career in Milwaukee.
And so after his career, what did he do after baseball?
Well, he managed in the Braves minor league system. He was also a scout for the Braves and the former Montreal Expos. Ended up retiring in suburban Chicago. His wife was from Chicago and spent the last years of his life in Michigan where relatives looked after him.
And then he passed away last week.
That's right, at a long-term care facility.
Now, I understand in the world of baseball cards, Pafko's a pretty good name to look for.
Oh, absolutely. At an auction a few years ago, his 1952 Topps number one card sold for $83,870.
Not bad.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of reasons for that. They were issued in order, they had numerical order, and the custom at the time was when you had that collection, you stacked them in order and then put a rubber band around them. And since his was number one in that issue, his was often at the top, often got scuffed up and kind of mistreated. And so as a result, there aren't many Pafko cards from 1952 in very good condition. So a combination of that rarity of good condition cards and his great career made that a very valuable card.
And that darn rubber band. I bet there's a lot of people who, I don't know, either lost their set of baseball cards, sold them off, or put them in their bicycles, their bicycle
well,
spokes.
Well, exactly, that, yeah. They weren't always treated as collector's items. They were treated pretty poorly or pretty carelessly back in the days.
Does Boysville know what they've got? Do they remember him still to this day?
They absolutely do. The baseball field in Boysville is named after Andy Pafko, and they threw a parade for him. He's still remembered quite fondly there. He kept his roots in Boysville very strong throughout his life. And even though he only played 2 weeks for the Eau Claire Bears, there is a plaque in his honor at the Eau Claire Baseball Hall of Fame right outside of Carson Park.
Oh, I should have asked you about that because
you're
a fan of minor league baseball in Wisconsin, too. Did he have much of a minor league career in the state apart from that two-week stint in Eau Claire?
Yeah, that's an interesting story. That was back in 1940. He'd actually tried out for the Eau Claire Bears. Again, he grew up nearby in Boysville. Had a tryout with the Bears. Didn't make the team, but he played town ball nearby, and the manager was aware of him. And by the end of that season, the Bears roster was kind of depleted. They needed an outfielder. And the Bears' manager drove this big black sedan that was issued by the team. And as Andy told it, when he saw that big black car pull up in the driveway, he knew what that meant. And he jumped off that haystack as fast as he could. He played for 2 weeks for the Bears, ended up playing for the Green Bay Blue Jays for the next season in 1941. And he almost played for two other Wisconsin teams. As I mentioned, he had a signed contract with the old minor league Milwaukee Brewers. And he also had a signed contract with the old Madison Blues. But he never actually took the field with either of those teams. Those contracts got sold over the wintertime.
All right. From the haystack into baseball history, Terry, thanks a lot for joining us.
Great to be here.
That's Terry Bell, reporter here at WPR, host of Morning Edition over on the Other Network.
Coming up after the news, we'll be talking about chocolate, caramel, and toffee. And you'll have a chance to get a delicious sample from a local chocolatier with your pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.